Hi, everyone, and welcome to Pastor's Ponderings. I'm Pastor Kevin from the Hinton Alliance Church, and
I'm Pastor Ryan,
and we're here together to bring to you some thoughts and to revisit Sunday's message and hopefully maybe ponder a few things about it and maybe dig up a few other things that maybe we didn't have time to say in the service. And so this is our way of kind of rethinking and reshaping and wandering through the message and hopefully learning some new things. And I'm glad you're here, and I hope that you can enjoy the journey with us. And so we look forward to spending this next half hour with you. And Lord willing, you'll be blessed as well. Well, good afternoon, Pastor Ryan.
Good afternoon, Pastor Kevin.
Good to be together with you. Yes. And those of you listening online, it's great to be able just to chat through Sunday's service. Wife and I tried to get away, but the weather said, No way. Not going to happen. We were supposed to go to the Banff Springs Hotel and spend some time there, but the weather, the winter weather decided to come and visit our land.
Yes.
In a big way.
It came in a fury.
Yep. Anyway, it was great. And I experienced our online service with some of our other church members who haven't been able to come to church yet, haven't come and darkened the doors, but they're at home and they're listening and they're involved, participating that way. And so we got to experience that as well, which was kind of nice. Don't get to do it that way very often. So it was interesting. So I want to thank you for doing a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you for looking after the service and also, of course, for preaching the message, which is what we want to talk about today. So in the message, you were talking about Ephesians chapter 2, and you started out by telling us the dark side, which I really liked how you put that, the negative side of you kind of have to know how bad it really was and is before you tell all the good news.
That's right.
Because it really sets it up well. And so you talked about being dead in our transgressions and sins. And I just had a question for you, though. I wanted to ask or maybe explore with you the whole idea of the fact that we were dead in our transgressions and sins and all the darkness that came with it. Sin has corrupted so much.
Yeah, that's right.
When Adam and Eve ate from that tree, the forbidden fruit, the Lord had said to them that the day that you eat from that, you will die. But they didn't die for years, like even hundreds of years later. So what died? What is the darkness that, death has brought into our lives because of sin?
You know, there's that idea of physical death, which of course they had to face because of their sin, but also the spiritual death. And I think we see that in the curse that is put on them because of sin. If we look in Genesis, when God comes to them, and he says, Eve, you're now going to have great pain in childbirth. Adam, you're now going to have great pain in laboring and toiling in the field. Well, there are two mandates, which was to have dominion over the earth, have rule over the earth, and to fill the earth. Well, now they had these immense obstacles that were really keeping them from doing that in the way that they were meant to.
Yeah, pain definitely is a big part of that, eh?
And so I think we see that, and then the fact that at the end of that, they were cast out of the presence of God. And I think that's where that spiritual death comes into play. There is the life giver, their source of life and purpose that they walked with in the garden, they were now separated from.
Interesting, eh? We still enjoy some good things. We still have births. We still enjoy being parents. But it comes at a great pain. And even the process of feeding them, really, I mean, because that's the ground was cursed, which is where we get our food from. So the pain and the toil of gathering food and getting food to pay, to provide for our families. So we still have some joy. It's not like, it's not like we're, how would you say it? You know, lost in this sea of vague, kind of like, what am I doing here? But it does happen. So you're kind of in this kind of no man's land where you're lost. I think that's a great description in the scripture. You're dead. Yes, you're dead, but you're also lost. And you're not sure why things are happening to you the way they are. And what's going to be the outcome. And I talked to so many people, and myself included, as I grew up as well, just feeling like I'm in the wrong place. I'm lost. Mm-hmm. I try this. I explore this thing that makes me happy, or I try marriage and marriage right. falls apart, or yeah. my health breaks down, or my emotional health breaks down, or right. you know, like there's so many things
yeah.
that, like you said, that get in your way of experiencing full life, and they are a part of this thing called the curse,
mm-hmm.
and we live under that curse.
That's right.
Right. So I totally, yeah, I think it was so important for us. And I wonder how many of the people who are just listening to us online, I wonder if they stop and think, how can I change this?
Oh, definitely.
Like you can't really, right? You can't pull yourself up by your own bootstraps,
right.
which is a weird saying, but,
yeah.
And your brain can only do so much. You know, mm-hmm. some people think, well, it's all in your willpower and your right. brain power and, but is it? Because if that was the case, then why haven't more people found wholeness?
That's right.
Why not? Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, the whole idea of just admitting, I think in the message, I think you talked about how you just admit, I'm right. dead.
I'm dead. I'm a slave to I'm my dead. Sin.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Somebody told me an illustration one time about an alcoholic who died, and one of his buddies came to the funeral. He was mm-hmm. kind of a street buddy. And you know how some people put things in coffins.
Right.
And this alcoholic had died from his liver was destroyed. Mm-hmm. And so his friend came up and put a Mickey inside the coffin. And the pastor, you know, saw this happen and thought to himself, that's a waste. That man is dead. He can't drink that Mickey. He is done. He is dead. Mm-hmm. And you think, okay. That's final. Death is final.
Right.
And so we are actually dead mm-hmm. in our sins.
That's right.
And we don't even know it half the time.
No.
You know, you could tempt us with whatever. Of course, we could fall for it. But
yeah.
Yeah. Terrible.
It's so easy to be distracted by what's around us
mm-hmm.
that we forget that we are
yeah.
dead men walking.
Yep. Dead men walking.
Yeah.
And I like your distinction that you made in the message between inherited sin,
mm-hmm.
like our sinful nature,
right?
So our propensity to sin,
right?
But then you also took us down another branch of sin, and that is that we choose to,
right?
We choose on our own.
We walk in it. Mm. Yeah.
How did you come to that? How did you break that mm-hmm. down so that it was, I guess, bite size for the rest of us to kind of figure that out?
Yeah. So you think of the idea of you know, when you're born into something, that's just kind of who you are as a person, what you lean toward,
yeah,
your likes, your dislikes, things like that. And you think about a child and they know what they want and they mm-hmm. know what they don't want.
Yeah.
And if they want something that they shouldn't have, well, it's a battle to
sure.
change their minds mm-hmm, or mm-hmm. to keep them from that.
Yeah.
And I think I use this example on Sundays. You don't have to teach them to do what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You actually have to teach them to do what's right.
Yes.
And it's understanding our natural inclination is towards what is wrong.
Yep.
What is evil.
Mm-hmm. So is that kind of the inherited?
Yeah. So that's the inherited.
It leans us that way,
right.
But we still make our choices.
But we are still responsible for our choices.
Right.
And we see this, throughout scripture where God holds people accountable to the choices that they make.
Yeah.
Whereas, yes, we are cursed by sin,
mm-hmm.
but we're also responsible for the choice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good combination. Mm-hmm. Good way to think about it.
Yeah.
Because I could just blame Adam and Eve. It's their fault. It's not my fault.
Oh,
so
definitely.
Why do I have to worry about it?
Right.
Or even if you had a terrible father or mother or whatever, you could blame them for all your
right.
troubles and never actually deal with your own garbage.
Right. Yeah. And know? I think so much is finding that balance, because you can go one way or the other, where you can just hold on to, well, I was born this way. That's just who I am. And then you don't hold yourself accountable for your choices.
Yeah.
And you just go through life as a victim.
Right.
Or you can go the other direction and just think of yourself, I'm a horrible, no good for nothing guy. I keep messing up
right.
and I keep making these horrible choices. And that's
yeah.
just, you know,
yeah. Yeah.
And instead of this balance mm-hmm. of, because it's in the balance that then we find the freedom in the gospel, because the gospel takes care of both.
Yes.
It addresses the inherited
yeah.
as well as the choice that we make.
Yes.
And so I think we have to have this understanding. And if we don't, and if we don't find the good news of the gospel in both of those scenarios, mm-hmm. then we're going to walk through life almost crippled or handicapped in mm-hmm. one area because we haven't allowed the gospel to reach one yeah. or two of those areas yeah. or one of those two areas.
Yeah. That would be leaning backwards into the first chapter, talking about the power of Christ mm-hmm. and you know, the resurrected power of Christ to change right. us
yeah.
so that we now are free to make right. different choices, right? So it's his release in our life that allows me now the opportunity to have victory over sinful choices right. because the curse has been broken.
That's right.
Through Christ.
Sin so, no longer has dominion over
right.
you.
That's right. So it no yeah. longer controls me. And that sets me free so I can now walk in newness of life, which right. I think is what the scripture calls it. Mm-hmm. You did a great job of kind of comparing the idea of walking in the course of this world versus walking in the newness of life that mm-hmm. we've been just talking about.
Yeah.
Because you said it's like setting your sights on something, a target that just keeps moving.
Right.
Right. And I thought that's a great illustration because that's so true. If I don't focus and set my sights on Christ, who never changes, mm-hmm. who's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
That's right.
It's a little bit like setting my sights on something that moves constantly. Yeah. How do mm-hmm. I get it right?
Right.
If it's always moving, if the goalposts are always moving, I can never score. Mm-hmm. I thought of my dad teaching me how to plow. You know, I was out in the tractor pulling the plow around the field. And I don't know if he told me the story or somebody told me the story mm-hmm. of a guy who, you know, because my dad would say, fix your eyes on a post, like one mm-hmm. of the fence posts. And then you stay the course. You keep it straight. Right. And somebody somewhere along the way fixed his mm-hmm. eyes on a cow. In the field next door, right. but the cow was moving.
Kept moving.
So the plow kept moving too with the, you know, cause it's always shifting and right. you don't really notice it, but it's shifting. And when you get to the end, you look back and go, oh, that's really crooked. Yeah, yeah. It's really crooked. So that would be a great illustration for how so many of people, they live their lives and they try to set their sights on something, but mm-hmm. then it shifts on them and they're like, oh, now what do I do?
Right.
Right. Or they just try to accommodate and shift with it.
Right.
And yeah, they'll never, you know, they never look back in the rearview mirror because it's a mess back there.
Right.
We just keep our eyes forward. Right. Keep our eyes forward. Yeah, for sure. You talked a little bit about our passions and our desires have been distorted because of sin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we want to have control. We say we want to have control, but really, we have to admit first we're slaves. And mm-hmm. I thought that was a very good point as well. Maybe just to package that a bit more, like
yeah.
as a slave, you don't really have any choices.
No. Right. And it's, you know, under sin, it's recognizing that when Adam and Eve fell, when they chose to reject God, it wasn't just that they were going to one day die mm-hmm. physically.
Yeah.
But who they were as people was changed and distorted by sin.
Yeah.
And their cravings mm. and their desires mm. Were changed, and sin infected those things. I think of it as it's always helps me to think of sin as a poison.
Yeah.
It gets in and it affects everything that it touches.
Right.
If a fruit tree is poisoned, then the fruit that it bears is going to be affected by that poison.
Yeah, true enough.
And in our lives, those things that, those desires that are produced within us that are meant to be good and holy and perfect desires mm-hmm. are infected mm-hmm. by sin. Mm. And so even good things like
yeah.
Food, we all need food. Even good things like sex between a married man and woman,
yeah, yeah.
those desires are changed where they're all of a sudden distorted.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're no longer being defined by God and how yeah. he created them,
right.
they turn into our God.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
They turn into the ones that we fall after. Romans talks about it in the analogy of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
We're slaves to sin. Mm-hmm. We're slaves to those things.
Yes.
That, yes, we choose them, mm-hmm. but we're also powerless against them.
Right, right. There's that weird kind of combination,
right?
Where it is, I'm responsible for it, but I'm a slave to
right.
it.
Right.
And I can't break free.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't break free from your slavery unless someone else breaks you free.
That's right.
And so that's where Jesus comes into the whole thing, yeah, for sure. Hmm. Very good. I like what you talked about grace. You know, grace is this glorious thing that God pours out on us, that he lavishes on us. And then we can be set free.
That's right.
For it is by grace you have been saved. This is a gift from God, not from yourselves.
Right.
Not from anything we could ever do, because then we would boast about it.
That's right.
Right. It has to come from him and his grace. And we just don't deserve it. But yet, there he is again, this mighty, powerful, loving, careful God pouring out grace on people.
That's right.
To bring them into the kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, and so while we have to start with sin, we have to make sure we also don't stay there.
Yeah,
You know, as believers, we have to recognize who we are now in Christ, that we are no longer defined by our mistakes. We're no longer defined by sin. And even when we struggle with sin, I think of Paul in Romans, where he says, I don't do the things I know I should do, and I do the things I very, you know, the very things that I hate. And we see this, there's still a struggle with sin.
Sure.
But the defining reality of who you are as a believer is no longer a slave to sin.
Right.
You're no longer slave to the passions and desires of your flesh.
Yes.
You're now in Christ.
Yep.
Yeah. And so you do have power over those things now.
Yeah.
To where you might struggle, but it is a struggle where you're fighting against them and you have the upper hand.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned that you said if there were two words or two phrases that kind of captured this portion of the book of Ephesians, one was in Christ, and the other was, but God.
Yeah.
so that.
Yeah.
You know, God comes in. He's the difference. He makes difference.
Yeah.
So that we can have a new life, a new path, a new direction, a new purpose, a new meaning. You can just kind of load up the wagon with all those awesome things to carry around with you. And that's his lavish love on us. It's immeasurable. That is so good. Yeah.
And how amazing that, you know, the God of the universe, he could save us for any reason out there. He could have us just as his servants doing his bidding.
Yep.
But he saves us because he wants to love us.
Right.
He wants to shower his love and kindness on us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, yes, his wrath is there on everything.
Right.
Full stop. Like it is everything.
Definitely.
But he also provides an umbrella outside to get out from underneath the wrath.
That's right.
In Christ.
Yeah.
Because he wants that. He doesn't want to just have wrath.
Right.
Because sin deserves wrath and death. Mm-hmm. Right. But he wants us to experience freedom. He wants us to experience joy that is unspeakable, as Peter says. He wants us to experience peace that passes understanding, as Philippians says. You know, like you have all these wonderful treasures, and you told the story about Jesus and these, you know, he finds a treasure hidden in a field. He goes and sells everything he has.
Right.
You know, I don't know if he was married or not, but you know, try and pass that one off on your wife. Right. See how that goes. Honey, we're selling everything. We're
selling it all.
We're like the hillbillies, selling everything and moving out west because they have struck gold, black gold. That part I thought was really, really cool. The hidden treasure and the idea that this thing is so precious that we could give everything up. We could give it all up.
That's right.
Everything we have, everything we own, and come out ahead.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Even though in the moment it seems like we're losing, we're actually winning.
Right. So Jesus says, if you lose your life, you will find it.
Right.
You lose your life for the sake of Christ, you will find it. And I think this coming to understand that it's freeing because the world puts so much pressure on us.
Oh, yeah.
So much pressure to live a certain way, have the house, the car, the toys, all of that.
Right.
And, you know, you work and live for the weekend, which when you realize life isn't about those things.
Yeah.
The purpose that Christ gives us is so much greater.
Yeah.
So much greater. And we can find freedom from the drudgery that life can be, knowing that what he has called us to is so much greater and so much more fulfilling.
Yeah. Yeah. Those things don't change though. Like we still have to work.
Right. You still go to work.
And we still look forward to the weekend.
Right.
and have fun on the weekend with your family. Definitely. Those are still things that we have, but in Christ, Those desires are now suddenly, I don't know how you'd say it, it's like exploded with or packed with his presence.
That's right.
And it makes everybody involved in the equation freer. Yeah. Or free, I guess you could say, but freer as they grow in their faith. Mm-hmm. And that sets our family free. It sets us free from the glory of the grind that comes, you know, the everyday stuff.
Yeah.
You got to do it. You got to make your money. You got to go to work. You got to put in the grind. Yeah. But there's a glory in it now because you're not doing it just for the weekend.
Right.
You're doing it for the King.
Yeah.
And somehow it changes your mindset. It changes your attitude. Mm-hmm. It puts thankfulness in there, you know,
and even when he does strip things away, you know, I think this connects so well to John chapter 15. And you touched on this the week prior, abiding in Christ. Mm-hmm. And it says that those branches that do bear fruit, God prunes.
Yeah.
And so he does snip some things away, cut some things away that are getting in the way of, and those things can be painful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think, you know, those are some of the things that, you know, we have to quote unquote sell that the world may think we're crazy for selling.
Right. Getting rid of. Yeah.
Getting rid of.
Yeah.
But it's recognizing that those things are stripped away so that we can be more fruitful, so that we can bear more fruit.
Yeah. Awesome.
And it's, you know, we talked a bit about this at Young Adults this morning. Ah. So a little plug for that. Young Adults.
Sure.
Tuesday mornings, 6:30 a.m. at Starbucks.
All right, sounds good.
But this idea of, you know, abiding in Christ, like the focus is abiding in him.
Yeah.
Finding our identity in him, who we are in him. The getting rid of part, that's really God's part.
Yeah.
It says he prunes us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Our focus needs to be, who are we in Christ? Mm-hmm. And he's forming us and fashioning us, as it says in verse 10 of Ephesians 2, we're his workmanship. He's creating us in Christ.
Yeah.
He's working in us. He's changing us. He's molding us so that we can fulfill that purpose.
Yeah.
And so that's his job.
Yes.
And so as we abide in him and as we pursue him and pursue the things that he's calling us to, those other things will naturally fall away.
Yeah.
We just have to be willing to allow them to fall away.
Yeah, I think he used the terms recreating or reshaping us.
Yeah.
Which is for his purposes.
Right.
So now I'm not just sort of cut loose for my own purposes.
Right.
Now I guess you could say I changed slave masters.
Right.
Before I was a slave to sin and evil.
Yeah.
Now I'm a slave to righteousness and good. But the results are not like slavery. They're like freedom.
That's right.
So it, on the outside looking in, it probably looks like I'm a slave to doing good things.
Right.
But when I do the good things as a slave, it sets me free.
That's right.
And there's wonderful dichotomy in that, and how I if I'm willing to go through the journey of actually letting myself become a slave to Christ, to presenting the members of my body, hands, feet, soul, you know, everything to him as instruments of righteousness, then I truly am a slave to him. But when I'm a slave to him, I'm actually set free.
That's right.
Which I think is so glorious.
Yeah.
Way to go, God. Way to come up with a good one.
Right. And, you know, I think this ties back again. You know, we started talking about, you know, death.
Yeah.
And death and sin because of sin.
Yeah.
It keeps us from fulfilling our purpose. Mm. Sin keeps us from fulfilling our God-given purpose in life.
Yeah.
And sin also so easily distracts us and puts up these false ideas of, hey, if you do this, you'll find purpose. Absolutely. If you do this, you'll find fulfillment.
Yeah.
And all these other things that we can pursue. Mm. Sure. Whereas in Christ, as we move from being a slave to sin and those things that don't lead to fulfillment at the end of the day, and instead become slaves to Christ, we find that purpose we were created for and the only thing that we will find fulfillment in.
Yeah.
And so it isn't a drudgery slavery to Christ. Instead, like you said, it's freedom.
Yeah.
It's freedom to fully be who we were created to be.
Yeah. It's weird how sin is a pleasure and it sort of drags you into this feeling of guilt and shame and remorse.
Right.
But it's a pleasure.
Yeah.
Whereas you look at the other, it's hard work. Mm-hmm. It's something that you have to do. You have to pursue Christ. You have to do these things. and it is harder work, it doesn't seem like pleasure, but it actually ends up being pleasure.
That's right.
So you at first, the pleasures of sin drag you into shame and remorse. Mm-hmm. But then if you decide in Christ to go the other way, it's hard work. It's difficult. It's harder to pursue what is good and right and true, right? Because it's easy to make a bad decision, but it's harder to make good decisions.
That's right.
And yet at the same time, that actually produces pleasure.
That's right.
It makes it much more enjoyable. Mm-hmm. The journey is full of joy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think you can look at those extreme examples of people who are caught in drug addictions or alcoholism, and in the moment, those things are feeding their pleasures.
Sure, right.
But when you talk to them a year of celebrating sobriety, they'll tell you the joy they have is so much greater.
So much different, Yeah, it's like they got their life back, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
Awesome. How are we doing for time?
We are just about there, probably another 5 minutes.
Okay. Anything else you want to chat about? We have our Soul Care coming up here this weekend.
Yes.
And registration, I think, closed about a half an hour ago, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
So if you were hoping to come, we hope that you got your registration in.
Yes. And of course, we wouldn't turn you away if you were a little bit late. But try and get your registration in. If you missed it for whatever reason and you couldn't get to the website to pay, you can come on into the church and we'll receive it here.
Perfect.
Because we'd really like to have more people, the more the merrier in this kind of a scenario setting. So that's what's coming up with our church this week. We're excited about that.
Yes.
Anything
else?
We're
also looking forward November 1st. Mm-hmm. We're going to have some special guests joining us.
Right. Yes, we will have a missions focus. And we're looking forward to having some international workers come from afar. From North Africa.
Yes.
And so we're looking at, as a church, we're looking at creating a seamless link with this couple, which is kind of like the process of going through an adoption. We're going to adopt this family as our own as a church, which I think is really cool. Mm-hmm. And looking forward to down the road as this sort of adopted family becomes part of our family. And we hear from them regularly and pray for them. And, you know, maybe even we'll be able to send some teams to support them and encourage them down the road. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. God is on the move.
He is.
Even in the midst of COVID.
Amen. Amen. Even in the midst of COVID.
Yes.
All right. Well, God bless you, brother.
God bless.
And God bless all of you who are listening and joining
in. Thank you for joining us.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
All right. And we'll talk at you next week.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Pastor's Ponderings. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to diving in again with you next week. But until then, keep loving God and serving people.